Thank you, Antoinette. That song never, ever gets old to me. Amen. Talking about how much I love the Lord and how much we should love him for who he is. Amen. A special, sweet song for Mother's Day. Thank you, Antoinette, for that special. I appreciate that. Well, you know, I've got some more jokes, but I'm not going to tell those right now because it's God's word time. Amen. But if you want a couple more, see me after service and I'll give you a couple. Amen. So I know my children will see me and say, Dad, give it to us. Amen. But I want to get into the message for today and look at some things with Rahab. You know, as I looked at this subject matter, and you know, one of the first things that comes to your mind, of course, is her immorality, you know, because the Bible over and over again says, you know, the harlot Rahab, and back over in Joshua chapter number 2, just some introductory remarks. Why is Rahab probably one of the most unorthodox ladies to consider for Mother's Day message? Well, number one, she was a harlot. Number two, she was a non-Israelite. Well, number three, she was a non-believer. Number four, she was an enemy of the Jews, being from Jericho, marked for extinction. However, one of the most impressive things about Rahab that we'll see today resembles many of our mothers of the modern day having to overcome obstacles. The average mother today that is a Christian, that is saved, that is born again, is more like Rahab overcoming obstacles probably than many other ladies in the Bible. She did everything right to obtain eternal life, even though the odds were stacked against her. Let me just ask a few questions preliminarily. And this is for ladies and men and children. And I want you to notice some things about Rahab. Rahab was not in a saved family, yet she became a child of God. How many of you like that? Raise your hand. She was not in a saved family, yet she became a child of God. Amen. Put them down. Again, Rahab's parents were not saved, yet she became a child of God before her parents. Raise your hands if you were like that. You became a child of God before your parents. Amen. Number three, Rahab's parents did not show her how to be saved, yet she became a child of God. Your parents did not show you how to get saved. Raise your hand. Amen. Rahab's belief was not in the true God correctly and initially, yet she became a child of God. I mean, we're like that. Many of us believed in God as we were raised, but we didn't believe accurately nor correctly. I was raised the same way, being Catholic. I was raised to believe in God, yet they told me it was through the Catholic Church, through the priest, through confession, and things of that nature. And lastly, Rahab's view of God was flawed by her religious beliefs, yet she became a child of God. How many were like that? I was. My religion had flawed my belief. Pastor White, the way you got saved in my church, you came forward to join the church and get baptized, and that was salvation. So what am I saying? All these things were against Rahab. She overcame all those obstacles of not being in a saved family, of not having parents that were saved, of her parents not showing her how to get saved, of her belief not being in the true God correctly, of her views being flawed because of her religious background. And yet she overcame all those obstacles, and against all odds against her, she got saved, she got her family saved, and then she dwelt with the people of God after she was saved. Many mothers today are the same way. You overcame the obstacles. You overcame those things that were against you. You got saved. You went back and got your family saved. And you got into a good fundamental church to get schooled on what God wants for you. I got a late start. I didn't get saved till I was 28 years old. And so I didn't have the privilege that my children have, and Josiah has, and Alana has, and many of the other children, the Aponte. I didn't have that. The Watson. I didn't have that. I didn't grow up in church correctly. Yes, I grew up in church, but I wasn't saved. Here we find Rahab against all odds. She gets saved and her life changes. A closer look at Rahab's life reveals that she was such an overcomer that she had some special things about her. Go over to the Gospel of Matthew with me very, very quickly. Gospel of Matthew, I want to show you some things about Rahab that makes her extra special in being an overcomer. A closer look reveals that she was an overcomer, and as an overcomer, she was included in the ancestry or the genealogy of Jesus Christ. If you look close, notice what you find in verse number 4 of chapter 1 of Matthew. And Amram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Salmon. And Salmon, in verse 5, notice this, begat Boaz. So who is Boaz? That's the husband of Ruth. Of who? Rahab or Rahab. So Rahab married Salmon. And as a result of Rahab marrying Salmon, they begat Boaz. And of course, Boaz begat Obed. And of course, Obed of Ruth begat Jesse. And of course, Jesse begat David, the king, and on we go. And guess who this genealogy is? Jesus Christ. Wait a minute, we're talking about a harlot, someone that's immoral. God can use anybody that's willing to be used. It doesn't matter of your background. It doesn't matter how checkered your past is. It doesn't matter what you did. This lady is included in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Say, but she's a harlot, and you are what? A sinner as well. Not only that, Rahab was also included in the biblical hall of faith. Go over to Hebrews chapter 11. She's in the genealogy of the ancestry of Christ, but she's also in the hall of faith. And you find an overwhelming majority of masculinity in the hall of faith. You find a whole lot of men there and very few ladies. Preacher, what are you talking about? Notice Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 17. By faith, what's that name? Abraham. Come down to verse 20. By faith, what's that name? Isaac. Verse 21. By faith, what's that name? Jacob. Verse 22, by faith, what's the name? Joseph. Come down to verse 23. By faith, what's the name? Moses. Coming down to verse number 31. By faith, what's the name? The harlot Rahab. She's among some notable men of God, some men that did marvelous works, that did great things, but she was a harlot, and they don't wipe that out. They say, by faith, the harlot Rahab. Perish not with them that believe not. The rest of the city perished when she had received the spies with peace. She's in the hall of faith, yet she's a harlot. What am I saying? She overcame the odds. She overcame the obstacles, and everybody else perished that was not with her. But she didn't. Come over to James, the book of James. And again, we see this notable young lady being a harlot. James chapter number 2. Notice verse number 25. Of course, James is talking about genuine faith should produce works. He says in verse 25, likewise also was not, what's the name? Rahab the harlot. They don't cut out that she's a harlot again. The only place you don't see that she was a harlot was in the genealogy of Christ. In Hebrews it says she's a harlot. James says she's a harlot. Likewise, also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers, and she had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say there's something special and unique about this mother that we all need to see. Go back over to Joshua, chapter number 2. All of us have a checkered past. All of us have things that we're not proud of. This lady, Rahab, after her conversion, I'm sure she would say, you know, I'm not proud of what my lifestyle was like. But guess what? God used her in spite of her lifestyle. I dare say God used me in spite of my lifestyle. God used me in spite of my background. God used me in spite of my upbringing. God used many of you in spite of your upbringing, in spite of your background, in spite of who you are, in spite of where you were born, in spite of who your parents were, in spite of who your dad was, in spite of who your mom was, in spite of what you did, in spite of where you went or where you grew up at, God used you. Guess what? God used her to raise somebody like Boaz, who raised and married Ruth and begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. What a unique story. What a unique story. Guess what? I don't know a lot about my mother's childhood and her background, but guess what? God used her to raise me. And God saved me and allowed me to give her the gospel and give my dad the gospel. And guess what? Now God's using me to give the gospel to others. And God's using many mothers here the same way. You may not be proud of your past. You may not be proud of some of the mistakes that you've made, some of the things that you've done, some of the places you've gone. You may not be proud of that, but God has used you in spite of your background, your heritage, and your history. God has used you to raise a godly seed. Say, preacher, it's not as good as I'd like, but it's better than most. Better than most. We're looking at this young lady today. Something special, something unique about this mother. We need to see. How did Rahab overcome all the odds and all the obstacles of life to be in such a special and unique place in Scripture? Even though everything seemed to be stacked against her, she was in a city marked for destruction. But much like many mothers today, by faith she overcame. She believed God and took God at his word. Amen. You say, well, God didn't do any speaking, but God's messenger did. Amen. By way of the spies. And she believed God. I want us to notice three things today that Rahab's faith enabled her to do to overcome the obstacles and the odds of life. And many of our mothers today are overcomers here because you went against the odds. You overcame the obstacles. You didn't look at what couldn't be done. You looked at what could be done with God's grace and God's mercy. You didn't look at what you didn't have. You looked at what you did have with God's grace and God's mercy. You said, I'm going to overcome the obstacles. I'm not going to be like everybody else. I'm going to do something different with my life. There's something unique about the God in whom I'm following and whom I serve, and my life's not going to be the same anymore. Rahab here meets the spies. The spies come to her and they come in her house. Why did they come into her house? Well, she was a harlot, so her house was open. You can't just go into anybody's house. They knew they could go in her house. So they went in her house and they hid out. And as she comes and brings these spies into the house, they begin to hear from her the inside view of what Israel looks like from their vantage point. And I want us to notice the first point here. Rahab believed she could be saved by faith to overcome. She believed she could be saved by faith to overcome. If you are here today and if you're saved, the only reason why you're saved is that you believed you could be. Somebody say amen. If you didn't believe you could be, you wouldn't do it. By the way, everybody else perished. You know why they perished? They didn't believe they could be saved. Some of them maybe thought they could go out there and fight. Come on. Who they think they are? We'll box. We got swords. A sword doesn't do good when you're under a bunch of rocks. Swords don't do you any good when bricks fall on you. Swords don't do you any good when the wall falls down. Doesn't do you any good at all. Many of them maybe thought, hey, we'll fight. Brother Watson, we'll go out there and we'll get them. They're marching around this wall, bunch of dummies. We can just pick them off one at a time. You know, not when God's on your side. And as a result, she believed she could be saved. And you and I are here today, we believe we could be saved. She believed there must be a way out of her life of doom. The city of Jericho is marked for destruction along with all of its inhabitants. Rahab had enough faith to ask to be saved from the pending doom. Notice Joshua chapter 2 and notice verse number 9. She was convicted first of all. Notice verse 9, she says down there, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land and that your, notice this, terror has fallen upon us. She was convicted about what was going to happen to them. By the way, you can't get saved unless you're convicted about what's going to happen to you. Amen. The terror of the Lord was upon them. I don't know about you, but February 3rd, 1991, when I sat in that church, amen, I was convicted of my sin. And I knew a holy God was just to judge me for my sin. And I was terrified of that. She says down there, hey, your terror has fallen upon us and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. What am I saying here? Hey, the terror of the Lord was upon them. She was convicted of her sin. 2 Corinthians 5:11 says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. She was concerned when she heard about it. Notice verse number 10. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. And what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side. She was convicted first. She said, terror is falling on us. Then she was concerned about what she heard. She said, look, I heard about your God. I heard what he did for you. I heard what happened. The Bible still says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? The word of God. She said, word got back to us what your God did to those nations, and we're in your pathway. And guess what? It's going to happen to us. We heard about that. She was convicted. Then she got concerned because of what she heard. And then she was convinced. Notice verse 11. As soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. Notice what she says. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth. She said, your God is the God. We've got some false gods here. We've got some idols here. But what your God did, I heard about it. I got convicted. The terror fell on me. I considered what he did. He dried up the Red Sea when you left Egypt. We saw what you did to the other kings over here, the Amorites. I'm convinced that your God's the true God. Mothers had to be convicted first of their sin. Fathers had to be convicted of their sin. Then we had to be considering, is there an alternative? There's an alternative. Doom is coming, I understand that. But what's the alternative? The alternative is, I'm convinced that your God is the true God, and I need to get on your side. Now, who in their right mind would have enough nerve to make friends with the enemy? Somebody is scared to death. Somebody's scared to death. I don't know about you, but I don't like hitchhiking at all. Don't want to hitchhike. My wife is even more afraid than me. But one day she had to hitchhike. Who wants to hitchhike with the enemy? And do you even know who the enemy is? She at least knew who the enemy is. When you hitchhike, you have no idea. They could be dressed like me and could be a convicted killer rapist. Oh, they could be in jeans and looking saggy baggy and with unkept and could be the nicest person in the world. And who would you trust? The convicted rapist killer? Or the one with the saggy baggy pants? My wife had to hitchhike one day and scared her to death. She prayed and she prayed and she prayed. Lord, just get me to where I need to go. She had no keys. She had no access, no entry out in the middle of nowhere. And somebody picked her up. A guy of all people. Well, why did she ride with a guy? Because nobody else picked her up. You can't pick and choose. No, not you. No, not you. No, not you. Oh, yeah, you. God gave her peace about who to pick. But oftentimes you can't pick and choose. Now, you can turn them down. But you walk. And it was, what, a 10-mile walk? A hiking we will go. A hiking we will go. But she had to trust someone that could have been the enemy. Rahab trusted the enemy. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They are the enemy. Jericho is going to be destroyed. They're just going in there to check it out. And she made friends with the enemy. And so you look at this thing here. She said, hey, look, I'm convicted. Terror is falling on us. I'm concerned about what I heard. We heard how the Lord did these things. I'm convinced that the Lord, your God, he is God. I'm going to believe on your God. And by the way, she can't be saved without being convinced, without being considering of the truth and hearing the truth and being convicted. Amen. Many of our mothers here today are the same as Rahab. They heard about the doom of sinners, how the Bible says, there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of glory. God. Many of our mothers heard that doom coming, just like Rahab heard. Israel's coming. There's certain doom. It's coming. We have heard the gospel already. The Bible is clear. There's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned. We understand that doom is there. Mothers have heard about the destiny of sinners. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, hallelujah, is Jesus Christ. Now, she doesn't know at this point that what's going to happen. She says, look, let me tell you what you guys have done. And let me tell you how we feel because of what you've done. Now, let me tell you something. Because of what I believe. I'm convicted, I'm concerned, and I'm convinced, then I'm going to make an agreement with you. Because I hid you, you saved me. Your God's the true God. We heard about Jesus Christ. We heard that he died on the cross for our sins. Mothers heard of the design for sinners. For God so loved the world that what he gave. I didn't know a whole lot of Bible, but I knew John 3:16. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. Mothers heard of the doom of sinners, the destiny of sinners, but also the design for sinners. God loved us so much. And then mothers heard about the deliverance. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now mothers, maybe you didn't grow up in a saved home. But when you heard that was a way out, you took it. Against your family background, against your heritage. My parents said, boy, you was already saved. I said, no, mom, I was already baptized and a member of a church. But boy, you already called on the Lord. No, mom, this is what I did. They gave an invitation. And mom, I came forward. And they said, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And I said, yes. They said, you believe God raised from death? I said, yes. They said, amen, you can get baptized. I said, mom, that's what I did. I joined the church. That's not salvation. Mom, what I did is totally different. I went and I repented of my sin. I understood the cross. I understood the doom of sinners. I understood the destiny that I had, the wages of sin is death. I understood the design. God loved me so much that he gave his only begotten son for me. I understood that deliverance is only in calling on the Lord, not getting baptized. There's a difference. There's a difference. And so my parents, my mom, boy, you're already saved. No, I wasn't. No, I wasn't. Rahab believed she could be saved. And because she believed she could be saved, she asked to be saved. Notice what it says down there in verse number 11 towards the end. The Lord your God, he is God in heaven, above and in earth beneath. She believed on the true God. And many of our mothers here today likewise have believed they could be saved by faith against all odds and asked to be saved. Many of our dads have done the same thing. Many of our children have done the same thing against all the odds. We asked to be saved. We saw the doom. We saw the design. We saw the destiny. We saw the deliverance. There is a way out. Rahab said, there is only one way out. By the way, the Bible says down there in chapter number 6 and verse 1 that Jericho was straightly shut up. You know what that means? Nobody was coming in and they weren't letting anybody out. So they weren't going to let you fraternize with anybody on the outside, and nobody was getting in. They were straightly shut up. The only thing that she could do was trust the ones that she had exposure to, the people of God. And as a result of that, she made an agreement with them. Notice down there in verse number 2. Number 12, because now we see she believed she could be saved by faith to overcome it. And second of all, she begged so others could be saved. She begged so that others could be saved. Notice verse number 12. By the way, she believed there must be a way out of for others to avoid doom because of the pending doom that was on her. The destruction of her family was imminent too. Notice verse number 12. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord. Says, I have showed you kindness that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house. Give me a true token. Verse 13. And that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have and deliver, notice this, our lives from death. She believed that she could be saved by faith to overcome the obstacles. But not only that, she begged so that others could escape the same doom. She said, I'm concerned about my mother. I'm concerned about my father. I'm concerned about my sisters. I'm concerned about my brothers. I'm concerned about all that I have. One of the first marks of a person that's truly born again is you get concerned about others. whether it's a husband concerned about a wife or a wife concerned about a husband, or parents concerned about their children, or children concerned about grandma and grandpa, or you concerned about your mother or your father, or concerned about a friend or a loved one or a lost one, the first thing that comes to your mind, hey, if I'm spared from this danger, if I'm saved by believing, I'm going to beg for these others to be saved too. They're facing the same doom that I was facing. Certain destruction is coming. They need to be delivered. There's a design for them to be saved. They can be saved. She got concerned. She said, if you're going to do that for me, how about everybody that's in my family? Will you do it for them? She believed there must be a way out for others to avoid doom. Save alive my father, in verse 13, she said, and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have. Rahab was not only concerned about her escape from doom, but her family as well. Mothers that have been genuinely saved are concerned about their families and others too. My wife and I, as soon as we got saved, we immediately went to call home and tell everybody. That's what my mother told me. Boy, you're already saved. My parents were so concerned that I was in a cult that they made a trip overseas to Belgium, where I was at, where I got saved, to see what church I was in. They said, boy, you have so radically changed. You're not the same boy that we know. We're coming over there to see Europe. But what they were saying is, we're coming over there to see you and see that church. Yeah. Now, did they see Europe? They saw Europe. But they want to see that church first. They want to see that preacher first. They want to see who turned me upside down. Who made me into this fanatical person that is out there toting the Bible and saying, people need to be saved. Hey, if you don't get right, you're going to hell. Hey, religion doesn't save. Religion is man's works. You need to get right with God. If you don't get saved, you're going to hell. That's true. They said, what in the world happened to you, boy? When you got baptized and joined the church, you didn't talk like that because I didn't get saved. Amen. When I got saved, my wife and I, we got concerned. She says, hey, if you're going to do that for me, if I can be saved just by believing, then perhaps my family can be saved. Rahab begged so others could be saved and help them to be saved. John chapter 4, verse 29, we saw last week, the woman at the well said, come see a man. Come see a man. Go over to Joshua chapter 6. Rahab chapter 6, amen. Notice chapter number 6 in verse 17. The city should be accursed, even all that are therein. You know what that tells me in verse 17? The city should be accursed, even all, everybody's going to be doomed. Everybody's going to be destroyed. Everybody is destined and designed for annihilation. The Lord, only Rahab, the harlot. Notice they mentioned that she's a harlot again. Only Rahab, the harlot, should live. Notice this. She and all that are what? With her in the house. Why? Because she hid the messengers that we sent. By faith, she got saved. By the way, if the family members didn't come to Rahab's house, they were doomed. Go back to chapter 2. Go back to chapter 2. Notice what it says down there. And notice verse number 19. As a matter of fact, verse 18. Behold, when we come, this is the spies, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father, notice this, and thy mother, and thy brother, notice this, and all thy father's household, home unto who? Thee. But notice verse 19. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. You know what that tells me? That Rahab had to be very, very convincing because they didn't see the spies. Her father, her brother, her sisters, or nobody else saw the spies. But she had to be so convincing to go to them and say, we're going to be destroyed, Mom. Mom. And Mom, if you come to my house, you'll be spared. Some spies of the children of Israel already promised me, Dad, you need to come. And Dad, if you come in my house, you'll be saved. They had to believe her. She had to come over to her brothers and sisters. I'm Rahab. Sister, you need to come over. Sister Carmen, the Israelites are coming and they're going to destroy. There had to be something convincing about how she said what she said. And because what's the natural thing when somebody's coming against you? Fight. Don't surrender to the enemy. Fight. They're going to destroy us. How can we trust them? They're the enemy. Look what they did to Egypt. Look what they did to the kings of Amorite. How can we trust them? They killed everybody. They left nobody alive. How can we trust them, Rahab? I believe they're God. Brothers, you need to come to my house. If you don't come, you're going to get killed. Well, we're going to be killed anyway. Might as well stand and fight. We men. We're boys. Might as well fight. I got a sword, Joshua says. I got a bow and arrow. They want to get me, I'll pick off at least three before they get me. But why would you want to do that when you could come with me and be safe? They had to believe her. Think about it. When you and I went back home, they had to believe us. Oh, yes, we have the word of God now. She had the word of God, but it was through spies. Our parents had to believe us. Our sisters had to believe us. They had to believe that something happened to us to convince us, to convict us, to consider the word of God above all other words. And obviously, they believed her because many came. What am I saying? There was something convincing in the way she said what she said and how she said what she said. Because the spies said, if they go outside your doors, that's not on us. Furthermore, notice what it says down there, verse 20. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. So she couldn't say anything. Obviously, they couldn't say anything. Say, preacher, maybe she tricked him and said, I'm having a dinner at my house tonight, free food, come on over. The Bible didn't say. But I know this, she got them to come to her house. And as a result, they were saved. What am I saying? Notice verse 13 again. That you will save alive my father and my mother, my brethren and my sisters, all that I have, they have. Deliver our lives from death. They've been answered to her, our life for yours. If you utter not this our business, we don't want anybody to know we've been here. And it shall be when the Lord has given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Come down to verse number 23 in chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verse 23. If the family members didn't come to Rahab's house, they were doomed. If people don't come to the Savior, they're doomed too. Verse 23 of chapter 6. Notice what the Bible says. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out who? Rahab. And who? Her father. And who? Her mother. Where were they at? Obviously, in her house. And who? Her brethren. Obviously, the ones that took her up on it. And all that she had, and they bought out all her what? Kindred. She must have been pretty convincing. And left them without the camp of Israel. Notice verse number 17. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab, the who? Harlot shall live, she and who? All that are with her, where? In the house. Why? Because she hid the messengers that we sent. I wonder if some family members didn't come to Rahab's house. I wonder if some said, I don't believe you. I wonder if some said, I'll take my chances. I wonder if some said, I don't believe that God of Israel. He's a ruthless killer. He killed the Amorite kings and he killed Egypt's whole army. I don't believe a ruthless killer like that. Why would he spare us? Some people think like that. And Rahab probably came back. I have their word. And they promised me in the name of their God. And I trust their God. So Rahab believed that she could be saved. She begged so that her family could be saved. And then lastly, she began a new life after she was saved by faith. She believed there must be a better way to live after deliverance from doom. I don't know about you, but my wife and I, we didn't want to go back to our old life that was doomed. We went back to try to get people out of that and beg them to come with us and to get saved and come out of that old lifestyle. Some came, some didn't. Some family members got saved, others didn't. That's one of the things about getting saved from a life of sin. The Spirit of God changes you on the inside, and you don't want to go back into that sin. Notice Joshua chapter 6 and verse 25. And Joshua saved Rahab. What is she? Still that harlot. Alive. And her father's household and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. So where did she? It says, she dwelleth in Israel, verse 25, even unto this day. You know what that tells me? She didn't go to another Canaanite city to dwell. She didn't go to another pagan, heathenistic country that was there, steady, that was ready for destruction. She stayed with the people that she got saved with. I cannot, it boggles my mind how people get saved and they don't want to stay with the people of God. I can't understand that. There was a joke when I was looking for Mother's Day jokes, and Brother Watson, you and Brother Neil can probably understand this. The first preacher said, I got bats in the belfry. I've been trying to get rid of them. He said, for the life of me, I tried everything. I tried pesticides, homicides, batticide. I tried all these, couldn't get rid of them. The second preacher came up there and said, you know, I had a problem with bats too. And I tried everything known to man, shotgun, pellet gun, sonar, radar. I couldn't get rid of mine either. The third preacher said, I had bats in my belfry too. He said, what'd you do? He said, I baptized all mine. They never came back again. I said, preachers, you get that, amen. He said, I baptized all mine. They never came back again, amen. What happens? Get people saved, they leave. Get them baptized, they leave. Not Rahab. Not Rahab. The Bible says in verse 25, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwells in Israel even unto this day. And we understand by what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 5. She married a guy by the name of Salmon. And then they birthed Boaz. And as Boaz came down here, Boaz was raised up and Boaz begat Obed. And Obed begat Jesse. And a godly line was established. Why? Because she stayed with the people of God. She said, I'm not going back to these Canaanite ages. I'm not going back to these people. I'm going to stay with the people of God. Mothers that get saved, first of all, they believe they can be saved. And then they beg so that others can get saved. And then they stay and they begin a new life after they become saved. They stay with the people of God. They desire to be in a good church, get baptized, start giving, start living for God, start serving God. The woman that was caught in adultery with the Pharisees was brought before Jesus, and Jesus forgave her and gave her a new life. He said this, Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. What happened? She started a new life. Mary Magdalene, the Bible says this about her. She began a new life. Luke 8, 2, a certain woman which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. John 19 and verse 25 says this, she's already got the seven devils. They're gone out. 1925, now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas. Notice this, and Mary Magdalene, what happened? She's got a new life now. Hey, she's got the seven demons cast out of her. Now she's at the cross, the foot of Jesus, and something amazing happens. Mark 16:9 says it this way, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared, notice this, first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. What am I saying? She began a new life. Yes, she had an immoral life. Yes, she had these seven demons. But when God cast those demons out of her life, she began a new life. She was there at the tomb. She's the first one he appears to. Mary Magdalene started a new life. John chapter 20, verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. What am I saying? Mary Magdalene started a new life. The woman that was caught in adultery started a new life. Hey, just because you start off in sin, just because you start off with a checkered past, just because you start off with some things in your life that you're not proud of, maybe some things you did, maybe some things that did unto you, you're not proud of those things. You're not excited about those things. You're ashamed of those things. That doesn't mean you can't start a new life. You start with Jesus Christ. Hey, she believed she could be saved from that life. She begged so that others can be saved, and she began a new life. She said, look, I'm going to stay with the people of God. Listen, mothers, fathers, children, you don't have to stay the same way that you are. You don't. Why did I choose harlot Rahab? Because she's got one of the most unusual backgrounds. And look, she's in the lineage of Christ. That means that we can overcome any obstacle and any odds with the grace of God. Anything. Amongst a masculine society, she's in the hall of faith with people like Abraham, Moses, and Joseph, and Jacob, and Isaac, and Rahab, the harlot. And they don't leave that out. They don't leave that out. Sort of like Nicodemus, or they say that he was rich. They don't leave that out. Likewise, all of us should begin a new life after being saved. Romans 6:4 says it this way. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. What happened? Rahab is a good Old Testament example of what should happen to a New Testament life. I believe I can be saved against all odds. I believe I can be saved against all obstacles. I beg so that others can be saved from the same thing that I was saved from. Then I begin a new life. I get into the local church. I get baptized. I start growing. I start serving. I start giving. I start going to get even more people and saying, look, there's doom. There's destruction. There's a destiny ahead, but there's a design. You can be saved. But they've got to believe us. They had to believe Rahab. And they had to be in our house in order to be saved. They weren't going to be saved any other way. Hey, folks, the Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There is no other way. In Christ. They had to be in Rahab's house. For you and I, to be saved, we have to be in Christ. We have to be convinced that we're doomed. We have to be convicted of our sinful life. She was a harlot. She had to be understanding and considering the word of God. And then she had to come over there, communicate, I want to be saved. Will you save me? Will you save my family? Will you help me to begin a new life? And she did. And she did. Ephesians 4:17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of your mind, in their mind. And that's exactly what Rahab did. She began a new life after she was saved. She begged so that others could be saved. And she herself asked and believed that she could be saved. Mothers here today began a new life in Christ after they were saved. Husbands here began a new life in Christ after they were saved. Children in here began a new life after they were saved. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I don't know what obstacles you have to overcome today as a mother. I don't know what obstacles you have to overcome today as a father. I don't know what obstacles you have to overcome today as a child. But I can tell you this. If Rahab could overcome, so can we. We serve the same God. He's the God of heaven. He's the God of Abraham. He's the God of Isaac. He's the God of Jacob. He's my God. He's the God of many mothers here. The question is he your God today? Do you have the faith to believe you can be saved? Have you begged for others to be saved? And have you begun a new life now that you're saved? To make this Mother's Day special, make sure that you're saved. And then when you get out of here, beg for others to be saved that need that same saving grace. Brother Neil and I had the same thought process yesterday. Saw all those cars out there yesterday. And my mind said, man, that's how it should be every Sunday. That's how it should be every Sunday night. That's how it should be every Wednesday. That's how it should be. And Brother Holmes verbalized what I was thinking. You know how it's going to get that way? Those of us that have believed we could be saved beg for others to get saved. and keep living that new life before their eyes after we're saved, so they can see something desirable in us that they want. Amen. One of the things that caused me to get saved was the life of another Christian that I saw. And I said, he has something that I don't have and I desire. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Whether you're a mother today, whether you're a father today, whether you're a sister or brother today, whether you're a child today, you've got to have the faith to be saved. And then with that faith to be saved, you've got to ask to be saved. The Bible is clear. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you are saved, are you begging that others will be saved? Some mothers are still begging that a son would be saved, that a daughter would be saved, that a son-in-law would be saved, that a daughter-in-law would be saved, that an aunt would be saved, that an uncle would be saved, that a cousin would be saved. Some fathers are still begging that a friend would be saved or a co-worker would be saved. And we're still begging. Don't stop begging. Don't stop begging. Keep believing that one day God will save them. Don't give up on them. If we believe we could be saved, are we begging that others could be saved? And then as we have begun a new life, are we living that life that others can see and desire the God whom we serve? Rahab said, we've seen your God. I believe he's the true God, because no God could do what your God does. I believe that. I believe the Lord's your God. He is God. Father, bless in this invitation mothers and the fathers that are here. Lord, the many mothers and the fathers and the children that are here, many of us have had to overcome obstacles. We've had to overcome odds. But by faith, we ask to be saved. And by faith, we beg that others might also be saved. And some have gotten saved and others still need to be saved. And Lord, by faith, we began a new life after we were saved. We joined up with the people of God. We were baptized. And we started serving. We started giving. We started going to give the gospel. Lord, help us not to get tired and faint when we're weary and well-doing. Help us to continue going forward. This young lady operates a special place in your scriptures, Lord. And we see her in the lineage of Christ, despite her background. Lord, you want to use the mothers, fathers, and children here in spite of our backgrounds, in spite of where we've been, in spite of what we've done, in spite of where we've gone, in spite of what we said, you still want to use us. But we've got to be saved first. And then we can beg for others to be saved. Then we begin that new life. Lord, help us today. Work in our midst. Save that man, woman, boy, or girl that's lost today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one looking around. Let's all stand to our feet. Perhaps today you're here and you've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ with every head bowed and every eye closed. No one looking around. Say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not saved. I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me? Just raise your hand up. I want to acknowledge it. You can put it right back down. I want to pray for you today. Man, woman, boy, or girl, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Preacher, would you pray for me? I'm not sure that I'm saved today. Would you pray for me? Just raise it up high, put it right back down, I'll acknowledge it. But that means you believe that you could be saved. You've asked to be saved. But then secondly, are you begging for others to be saved? Are you going back and concerned about your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your brethren, your cousins, your aunts, your uncles? Those that are lost. Are you begging for them to be saved? Oh, Lord, stop begging for them. Say, preacher, I've seen some saved, but some are still hard-hearted. Don't give up on them. Keep praying for them. Keep begging that they'll be saved. Keep begging for that father. Keep begging for that brother. Keep begging for that mother. Keep begging for that friend, that loved one, that cousin, that aunt, that uncle. Keep begging for them. You never know what might happen. The Bible says, what is your life? What a vapor. They may be gone tomorrow. Beg for them today. Maybe that mother that you call today is not saved. Maybe you tell her how much you love her, how much you desire for her to be saved. She believed she could be saved. She begged that others could be saved. She began a new life after she was saved. Are you living like you are in a new life with Christ? Can others see your life? Can they see your light? that's shining? Are you salt for others? Maybe there's a mother, a father, a sister, a brother you need to pray for. Why don't you come to an old-fashioned altar deck for me today? Say, Lord, save that father. Save that mother. Save that brother. Save that sister. Save that friend. Save that loved one. Rahab was successful in getting all the ones that the Bible lists here. Brethren, fathers, household, mother. And you may have a father saved, the mother saved, but still there is some left unsaved. Or you may have brothers and sisters saved, but a father left unsaved or a mother left unsaved. Pray for them, beg for them, plead for them. But also make sure you begin a new life and show a new life around them. They might believe in your God and trust your God. Rahab is an unorthodox young lady to look at. But nonetheless, her life closely relates to many of our lives with obstacles and odds that we had to overcome. Some of us had to overcome bitterness, unforgiveness, pride, abuse, neglect, unloved, unwanted, uncared for. We've had to overcome those obstacles and go to the one that did love us, the one that did care for us, the one that would forgive us, the Lord Jesus Christ. We've had to go to God Almighty. He said, you're the true God. Help me overcome this obstacle, this bitterness, this pride, this unforgiveness. Help me overcome that I may be saved. You may have to beg for a family member to overcome that same thing. They may be bound in prejudice, racism, financial success, business success. They may be bound in a lifestyle of sports or hobbies. And you still need to beg for them because they're secure. All of Jericho was straightly shut up and they were secure that the wall would not come down. But the wall would be their defense. And instead, the wall was their defeat. And it came down all around them. Only Rahab was saved, and all our house. Mothers, you've done well by the grace of God to overcome the obstacles and the odds. Bring others with you. Fathers, you've done well to overcome the obstacles and the odds. Now bring others with you. Children, you've done well to overcome the odds and the obstacles. Now bring others with you. Begin that new life. Father, thank you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for the special day we call Mother's Day. Many mothers represented here around this great city, around this great state, around this great country have overcome the same odds like Rahab. They've had to believe in a God that was seemingly hard to believe. And they had to believe spies that seemingly were hard to trust. But yet and still, she put her faith in God and the messengers that were sent. God, thank you for sending messengers to the mothers here, sending messengers to the fathers here, sending messengers to the children here. For some of us, it was a friend. For some of us, it was a stranger. For some of us, the messenger was a father or mother. For some of us, the stranger was a child. Some of us, the messenger was a preacher. Lord, thank you that you sent a messenger one day with a message that doom is coming. But you can be saved if you believe. Thank you that Rahab not only believed, but finds herself in the hall of faith, in the lineage of Christ, and in the book of James, amongst a lot of masculinity. She received high praise despite her background. Thank you for the mothers here that have overcome, the fathers and the children have overcome life's obstacles and odds. And today they stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, forgiven by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, saved by the grace of God. And they too can beg that others will get saved and begin a new life. Thank you for these mothers here, the many mothers represented and their families. Lord, help us continue to be a light in a dark world of mothers right now, duped by Satan and following religion. Help us to be righteous. Help us to treat our mothers special today, our wives special today,
Lord, we pray you bless. There's one here today without Christ. Lord, don't let that man, woman, boy, or girl leave without getting the assurance that Jesus saves them. He loves them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.